ministry of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. His wanderings took him through Samaria. It was not because he lost his way, nor because he would see some new scenery. We read he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Things to do with the outworking of the counsel of God, his sovereign and eternal decree. And as Christ went from place to place with purpose, an eternal plan was unfolding before the eyes of his disciples. There were the Samaritans in this area who were predestinated to a life eternal, and the word of Christ must prosper and prevail among them. So he must needs go into Samaria. Whether we would have believed it or not, this was what was going to happen, and it did, to the surprise of his disciples. We read in John 4 there, 39 and following, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world.'" When you and I see this, we are to be encouraged in our wandering. Sometimes life does seem to break down, as it were, and we feel lost and disorientated, as though we are wandering without purpose. But you see, it is never to be like that in the Christian life. We are to remember that there is a difference between the observable and the spiritual. And whatsoever the circumstances of our lives might be, we are to understand that God has a purpose in it, and that purpose is spiritual. It is for our maturing in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. So even when we feel lost and disorientated and wonder what the purpose of God is in the particular circumstances in which we find ourselves, we are to take heart and we are to be encouraged. And you see, when you read about the wanderings, the journeys of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that however arbitrary they might appear at times, there was a very, very exact purpose in them. And these particular movements at that time, going into Samaria, what a wonderful outcome, dear friends. You see, God had in store that this woman of Samaria and many of her neighbours would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you have noticed, as you have been reading books about missionary work, you read sometimes of some pioneer missionary who thought that his wanderings and labours were in vain. So absolutely Nothing, perhaps just one or two people converted in a lifetime of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, after the missionary's death, and when he was safely in heaven, within a generation, there were tens of thousands of converts as a result of his pioneer missionary work in that particular location. And we're not to think of this as something out of the ordinary. For many faithful believers, much of the fruit of their service and their life might indeed come after they have left this earthly scene. We have that precious promise, don't we, in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a fulfillment of that, dear friends, in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But what a fruit, dear friends, of his labours, of his wanderings. And so that is the profile for us. That is how we are to see life. We're not to be over disturbed about the fact that nothing seems to be happening, or that things are actually going against us, that things are getting worse and worse, because God is always in control. And he would have us to be wanderers for the purpose of our maturity, that we might be the more fruitful in his service. I'm speaking here about our spiritual wanderings, you understand. So let us not be dismayed. We can look at that life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and looking at it and speaking of it in our human terms, to us, it had its ups and downs. It had its times of things going forward. It had its times of retreat and quietness. It had its times of fearsome opposition, and so on. So let us not be dismayed, because we are wandering in this world. You may have lived in the same house all of your life, but if you are a believer, you are still a wanderer. We are on this spiritual journey. We are pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims on the earth, says the apostle. Now, we also encounter wandering in the Bible as a sinful course of life. And I found three examples of this where wandering is specifically mentioned. The first is in connection with idle gossips. Gossiping is a terrible thing when it, as the term is specifically used, talking about other people behind their backs, talking about light and trivial things, and so on. And in 1 Timothy 5 and 13, there is reference to the younger widows, the women who had been married, their husband has died, and they haven't remained steadfast in the faith. Perhaps their husband was a believer, and while they were married, they were going along with this. He dies, and they forsake Christ, cast off their first faith, and remarry, perhaps. Paul says of them, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. The dark side of wandering about. We can't even say wandering about to no purpose. Alas, they are wandering about for evil purpose, and spreading rumours, slander, and whatever else as idle gossips. Let it have no house room among us at all. And then there's false teachers. They are also spoken of as wandering. Such are not ashamed to pollute the church of Christ by humanly concocted doctrines and wayward lives. Instead of encouraging people in righteousness, they encourage them in sin. They even introduce it into supposedly holy places. Jude describes their lives and their end. This is Jude 1 and 13. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They're not fixed in Christ. They're not committed to Christ. They have no anchor for their souls. And they drift and wander like the shooting stars of the sky, not fixed in Christ, as those described by Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 3, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever," what we call the fixed stars, because you look up there and there are always in the same arrangement. But you see, from time to time you might see a shooting star, and it passes across the heavens. It's moving on a course through the other fixed stars. They remain in their places. But these are wandering stars, as Jude puts it, exactly the opposite of what a true professing believer is, fixed in their position in Christ, not for turning back, not for turning away, not for going down this particular avenue after some new thing or whatever else it might be. Not wandering stars, shooting stars, meteors, but fixed in Christ. How much better it is to be fixed in Christ, looking forward to an eternity of blessedness in the presence of the Lord. Not a wandering star whose destiny is the blackness of darkness forever. Terrible thought. Princes also are mentioned in this connection. In Psalm 107 and 40, we read with respect to God, "He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Nebuchadnezzar comes to mind, doesn't he? Eating grass like an ox. Matthew Henry says, in connection with Psalm 107:40 there, he baffles those counsels by which they thought to support themselves and their own power and pomp, and drives them headlong, so that they know not what course to steer, nor what measures to take. I was looking yesterday at an article in a Christian magazine which was about the Second World War, and all of that strength and advance of the Nazi Party in Germany, and then into the hostilities of the Second World War. The Nazi war machine looked absolutely invincible until God poured his contempt upon those who were leading this evil attack upon others, caused them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. And eventually they were overthrown. Well, when we see these examples then of wandering as a sinful course, it leads us to urgent prayer that we and our Christian brothers and sisters might be protected from wandering as a sinful diversion. Israel in Moses' day had the word of God, but it would not keep it, and ended up wandering 40 years in the wilderness until all that generation died. They did not pray Moses' prayer that we read of in Psalm 90. This is at verse 10. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wandering hither and thither in the wilderness, burying this one and that one, until all that generation passed away that had rebelled against God. So those who are in the church, the spiritually minded men and women and boys and girls who truly trust in Christ, should abhor sinful wandering and purpose to keep in a right orbit by careful attention to the revealed word of God in the Bible. That is our purpose as we gather this evening. We come to the Word of God, that we might be instructed in spiritual things, that we might have a right course through this world. Even if it is a wandering course, it's not that kind of sinful wandering, going further and further away from God. No, we are seeking the Lord with a whole heart, keeping within the fence of God's righteous commandments, that we might serve him. Think of those words in Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10, especially for the young people this evening. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Sadly, how many parents can testify with respect to their own children? Alas, this one or that one wandered from the commandments of God. What hope a Christian father or mother would have that this one or that one wandering in the world instead of wandering through the world might yet cleanse his way, taking heed to it according to the word of God. So let us think about wandering and the spiritual life. It is better to wander with Christ than from Christ. It is better to be at odds with this world than living in the world. So we encounter in the Bible this concept of wandering as a spiritual pilgrimage. The faithful in Israel are our examples. So here, for example, in Hebrews 11, later on at verse 37, we read about those whose wandering was a spiritual pilgrimage. What a picture we are presented with. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Oh, you might think, I don't want to be like that. But you see, the apostle says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They had no fixed dwelling place like you and me. Think of Elijah walking from the vicinity of Carmel, opposite the Lake of Galilee, in the north of Israel, to Beersheba, opposite the bottom of the Dead Sea, the other end of the country, at least 100 miles by foot. And then going a day's journey into the wilderness, from where he must go on to Horeb, the Mount of God, between the two arms of the Red Sea. A long journey, a long pilgrimage. But you see, it was a spiritual pilgrimage. The prophet was a spiritual man, and consequently he's involved in this in obedience to God, serving God, just like those others mentioned here in Hebrews and chapter 11. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, not in an aimless way, but because they were not part and parcel of this ungodly world. They were living a separated life. They were rejected by others. But what was that if they had peace with God? We soon learn in the Christian life in these days in which we are living, that faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ separates us from those who are about us. And the reason is They do not believe. They do not love the Lord. And life becomes difficult for the Christian. In the school or college or workplace or even in their community, they stand out as different. And indeed they want to be different. They don't want to be part and parcel of the sinful things in which our neighbours are involved. But you see, it results in this separation. It is difficult to maintain relationships with those who do not believe because of the lack of common ground and common interests. But you see, the believer can still say with certainty and with gladness of heart with the psalmist, as in Psalm 16 and verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You see, we are going to Zion, the city of God. And so our path is plain before us. The destination is clear. There may indeed be rough parts of the road. There may indeed be the hill of difficulty to be overcome. But we must take heart and be encouraged. The Lord has gone this way before, and he says to us, follow me. And as we follow him, we will be safe and we will be blessed. Think about wandering as a refuge. Think of David in Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. This is not wandering from God, but this is wandering far off, spiritually speaking, from this world. David had it literally speaking at times in his life when they were seeking his life to kill him, and he had to be in the isolated places. So he knew what real wandering was in that particular way. But you see, the lesson is a spiritual lesson, is it not? That our way is not the way of indulgence in the community and prayers of this world. We are called on a spiritual pilgrimage. Many Christians have literally, even as I speak at this time, no doubt, wandered from place to place to remain safe. Tyndale, William Tyndale, had to do that to get on with the Lord's work. He had so many enemies, he was a fugitive. But as he was fleeing, as he was passing from place to place, he was still getting on with translating the Bible as he went. And we're left with this wonderful heritage from Tyndale in our authorized version. Our way has been easy in comparison with saints who have gone before, but it is still a spiritual pilgrimage. So wandering is a stimulus to prayer. When all is easy and straightforward, we are apt to neglect prayer. When we feel the burden of spiritual pilgrimage, we make time for prayer. Thus the psalmist urges to thankfulness for answered prayer in the pilgrimage of life. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way and found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. It struck me that wandering can be a source of unexpected pleasure. As Wordsworth discovered, he says, I wandered, lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils, beside the lake beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze. And the Christian's wandering in this world also has joy and gladness, an expected joy rather than an unexpected pleasure. Embedded there in the prophecy of Jeremiah, with all of its darkness, trouble, and sorrow, we have that assurance of God. This is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Let us not be disheartened, but let us continue in that right way that the Lord has assigned to us and given us full example of in the life that he lived in his pilgrimage here upon this earth. Amen.